Colossians chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 9 to 12 this morning. Last week we talked about what Paul thanked God for concerning the church of Colossae, his gratitude toward the faith that they had in Christ, his gratitude that for the love that they had for one another, and for the hope that God had given them through the resurrection. And he continues on in his prayer, the prayer he expresses for the Colossians in verses 9 to 12, speaking about how he prays. But what he prays about here is for growth. He's praying for growth in knowledge about God's will, growth in how they behave in relationship to that knowledge, and growth in their knowledge of God. Not just about what God has to say, but knowing God himself. And then he talks about praying for their strength, for their being strengthened by God. So we have growing in knowledge of God. We have knowledge about God's will, growing in acting out God's will, but also growing in their relationship to God and growing in strength. And I'd like to look at this because I think this is all one process, and it will be a help to us in our walk before the Lord. This is a prayer that Paul is expressing for the Colossians, but also for us. And it's a prayer that we can look forward to being fulfilled in our lives as we submit to God also. Starting in verse 9, I like to read verses 9 to 12 and then go back. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of the light. I don't know if you're like me sometimes. When you first read things like this, it's okay, now this is a whole bunch of religious stuff. Let's get down to the how-tos and what are we supposed to do. But if we look at it closely, there's a lot of clues here about how we walk before the Lord, about how we grow. Let's take a look at verse 9 to start with. He talks about, he's praying and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. To know what God wants, to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, is the idea of, I know what God wants. I know what God's plans are. I know what he wants me to do when I'm living my life. I knew the do's and the don'ts and the principles. And a lot of times, I think we make a mistake if we just stop there. Because, yes, we are supposed to know God's will. We are supposed to know what God wants us to do in various situations. We need to know his rules. We need to know generally how he wants us to behave, the principles involved. It's necessary. And Paul is praying that we do that, right? But sometimes it's not enough. Well, I shouldn't say sometimes. All of the time it isn't enough. First of all, it's supposed to be in all wisdom and insight. And it's also so that we'll be able to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. It isn't enough just to know what God wants, but we have to have the wisdom and the insight to know how to apply what God wants, to understand how the principles that Jesus has showed us in his word, in his life, in his examples, how that applies to everyday life. That's where we need the wisdom. Paul's praying that we have that wisdom, that insight. We need to be praying for that wisdom and that insight. And we need to be looking for it as we pray for it with the idea of practicing it. It isn't just enough. You've heard kids say, I know that. You ever hear that? Maybe you did it to your parents. Maybe your kids did it to you. I know. And they've heard it. They've heard it 1,000 times. And they can tell you, word for word, exactly what you said. But did they get what it meant? Probably not, because he said it 1,000 times and you felt like you needed to say it 1,000 times, right? What you're really looking for as a parent is for those words to go into the ears and into the brain and to click so that we know what it's about and what kind of action it's supposed to produce. And this is the kind of thing Paul is praying about. Not just that we memorize the books of the Bible and Bible facts and can win a Bible Bowl or something like that. He wants us to know God's Word and have the wisdom and the insight in order to say, okay, this is what I need to do now because I recognize it. I recognize the principle. Did you ever, during the course of your life, stumble across incidents in your life where all of a sudden you have an aha moment? It's sort of like, oh, well, that's what Jesus meant by turning the other cheek. Or that's what Jesus meant by it's better to give than to receive. All of a sudden, what you knew about God's Word became a reality in a very special way. Has that ever happened to you? I mean, that's essentially what Paul is praying for right here. Not just that we be filled with facts, but we be filled with the wisdom and understanding so that those facts take on a reality. And the purpose of it is in verse 10. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, isn't that a repeat? He's saying increasing in the knowledge of God. It's not a repeat. It's not increasing in the knowledge of the will of God. It's increasing in the knowledge of God. The implication here is we learn about what God wants. And that's good, and that's a starting place. But we also pray for the wisdom and understanding so that we can do that will. And as we practice that will, what happens? We bear fruit in good works. We start being what God wants us to be. But we also understand God. We're increasing in the knowledge of God. Not just about God or about God's Word. You can list facts about God, but actually come to understand what God is like when you start practicing what He wants. There's knowledge and there's knowledge. I hope I'm not making this muddled, but this is a point that Jesus makes in a couple of places. I'd like to share one in John chapter 8. Jesus was talking to some people who had believed in Jesus, presumably believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but he challenges them, and they don't take it very kindly. Their faith doesn't really go down very deep. It doesn't go into their brain and out their fingers. In John chapter 8, starting verse 31, it says, "So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, 'If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.'" This has a similar idea as to what I just read in Colossians. If you continue in my word. Well, Jesus had teachings. Jesus had a message that we're to continue in, that we're to hold on to. Continuing in Jesus' word doesn't just mean understanding it and knowing it, yeah, I know it, but to continue in it has the idea of practicing it and making it come to life in our lives. And when we do that, what happens? Then you will know the truth. Well, didn't I know the truth when I knew Jesus' word and started to practice it? Well, yes and no. I knew the facts. I knew Jesus' commands. But as I practiced it, I came to know. It was, aha, that's what it means. This is what reality is all about. This is what Jesus is really like. This is what it's like to turn the other cheek. This is what it's like to forgive. This is what it's like to be humble. This is what it's like to be generous. This is what it's like to be God's child. We see it, and we see the truth of it in a way that you ordinarily would not get just by memorizing phrases from the Bible. It has a meaning to it. You ever have those passages that you know you can take to the bank? Well, God wants us to be filled with those. Because the more of those passages that we realize are true and right and work, the more we really realize God's own nature, right? The more we realize the certainty of what He's telling us. The more we realize that what we're trusting in is true and real and just and right. So it's not just in the hearing, but it's also in letting that word come out into our lives, applying it in our lives. We come to a full realization of what the truth is. It happens all the time, but man, we don't make a big deal out of it. Why should we be surprised if it works in the religious world, in Christianity? A child can read a book on bowling and come up and brag to mom and dad, I know how to bowl. We never took you bowling. That's okay, I read a book. But I know how to bowl. I said that about driving to my parents once. I was eight. I watched my dad. I could see him steer the wheel and turn the key. And I knew which was the gas pedal and the brake pedal and the clutch. And I know how to drive. No. Of course, he's smiling, saying, right. And so here we are. We say, we know how to be Christians. Sometimes, if we only get to the first step, that's the way we are. We know Christ's will because we read about it. But we really know Christ's will when we start to take the wisdom and the insight to practice God's will. And then we come to really know Him and what it's all about. And it all fits together. And this is what Paul is praying for the Colossian Christians, and it's a prayer that fits us just as well today, that we need to be praying for, looking for, and cooperating with. If we make it our own prayer, we can cooperate with it, and it can come true in our lives. We ask according to God's will, it'll be granted to us, right? We ask for wisdom, God is faithful to give us that wisdom. We ask to know Him. He wants us to know Him. And that's one of the pathways that we get to know Him. And so while we're doing this, while we are practicing what He says, and we're not going to do this perfectly. This is a process. This is a growth process, which means we're not going to get it right 100%. It's a matter of growing, getting more and more and more fruitful. It's not, getting it all right all at once. It's not an excuse for failure, but then again, it's not a cause for us to be all despondent because we don't have it all at once. So many times we try and we fail and we think it's never going to happen. That's not true. God is with us and God wants us to grow, and He'll work it. He'll work it. Well, all we need to do is cooperate, okay? We may not like the word submit, but cooperate works pretty good. Maybe not quite as good as submit, but It has the same general idea. Cooperate with God. Just say okay. And go along with it. And you'll find out that what he's asking is good and right and true. And so he uses this word increasing, bearing fruit and increasing. And that whole idea has the idea of process. I had 4 years ago, I planted a grapevine. Last year, I had two green grapes about the size of the tip of my finger, and they fell off before they got ripe. But that was the first time I ever saw grapes. Maybe this year I might find a few grapes. And I'm learning how to prune. I'm not a very good vine dresser like our father is, but eventually I'll learn how to prune and fertilize okay. So maybe it'll increase in fruit this year. I might even get a taste of them. Well, we don't know. But it takes time to bear fruit. It takes time to bear fruit. You know, you just don't buy a 6-pack of tomato plants and put them in the ground and then look for these little red globes to come up next week. Well, we bear fruit for Christ. It takes time. It takes a lot of things, but it takes time too. And so this is the pathway. Want to know his will, be willing to apply it, looking for the wisdom and understanding to know how. And as we do, we bear fruit and know him more intimately. And while we're knowing him more intimately, he is doing something else for us. He's strengthening us. Verses 11 and 12. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. When I think about being strengthened with all power, I think of superheroes. I don't know if you do. You think strengthened with God's power, you sort of think about the Apostle Paul going through the known world like this spiritual Sherman tank. I don't know if you ever felt this way or thought this way. I mean, here's this guy who's getting beat up and knocked down, and you can't knock him out. You know, he just keeps on going like the Energizer Bunny. He's all over the place. And you think of superpower. God strengthens you. How much more power can you get, right? Well, if you look closely at Paul and you look closely at Christians and you look closely at this passage, you'll see that picture isn't exactly right. We are never, listen carefully, we are never going to get a point this side of heaven. On this side of heaven, on the other side it's different, but on this side of heaven, we're never going to get to a point where we're not tempted. We'll never get to a point where we will be immune to temptation, where we won't have to ever worry about having to say no to sin because we're too strengthened and we're too tough for that. It doesn't work that way, does it? Peter fell on his face quite a few times, didn't he? And if he can, I can. David fell on his face. We're not immune to temptation. We're not going to be immune to temptation. We're not going to be strengthened so that we would be spiritual superpowers and have no troubles. Like we would never have a situation where our faith would be tested, or we wouldn't be asking questions from the depths of our being. Why did this happen? Or how could this possibly have taken place? Or how could God have let this happen? We're not going to be immune to that stuff. Not this side of heaven. But what does it mean if we're strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might? If it doesn't mean that, isn't that what we want? Evidently, it isn't what God's talking about. Not this side of heaven. Because look at verse 11 closely. It says, for, or with a view toward, attaining all steadfastness and patience. What is the power for? What is the strength for? that God gives us? It's so that we might be steadfast and patient. He gives us the strength to hold on. He gives us the strength to ride out the trials. He gives us the strength to survive the storm. He doesn't take us out of the storm. He gives us the strength to go through the storm. He doesn't give us the strength so that we don't have our patience tried. He gives us the strength so that we would be patient. So that the irritations of life and the distresses of life don't overcome us. That we have the strength to resist. So that we have the strength to hold on to our faith, to hold on to our hope, in spite of the trials, in spite of the things that we have to endure. Doesn't that ring true? Well, I mean, it should. It says so right here, that that's the purpose of the strengthening, right? But doesn't it ring true? We get this fantasy idea that when we become Christians, we're not going to have any problems. Or how come this is happening after so many years, and then all of a sudden, kabam, this takes place? Well, it's right in here. The strength that God gives us isn't strength to make us immune. It's strength to get us through. It's strength for us to hold on. And it's strength that has to do with our hope. And a cue for that has to do with the last part of verse 11 and verse 12. Because while we're being strengthened with God's power, what are we doing? Joyously giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's weird. Joyously giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. And what he's talking about here is the content of our hope, isn't it? Isn't that what he's talking about? Isn't that the big package? What did God give us in Christ? An inheritance that all of the saints of light have. An eternal inheritance. An inheritance which cannot be taken away from us. An inheritance that's eternal. A life that is eternal. A life that cannot be taken away from us. And so here we have these trials in this life. Here we have these losses we face, these pains that we face. We have these struggles that we face. But yet, there's a hope God gave us in Christ. A hope that awaits us in heaven, an inheritance that does not perish and will not fade away, that cannot be denied us. So all the while we go through our struggles here, we have a hope that can sustain us through it. That's the picture he's giving us here. What did he thank God for in the first part of the chapter? The hope that God gave us. Well, that's what he's talking about here in verse 12. We have part of God's inheritance. We share as children of God in everything that God has. We're part of the family of God. And no matter how bad things are in this life, no matter how much we lose, no matter how much we suffer, we belong to God. We have a relationship with Him. He's worked in our lives. He is working in our lives. And we have a place with Him. And we can joyously give thanks. In spite of the fact that we have things to be patient about and things that we have to endure through. Because we know we win. Earlier this morning, I think, I was talking about, probably in Bible class, we're talking about childbirth. A big expert, me, right? But one of the hardest things, a woman goes through is childbirth, but it's a bad time. But what happens after the baby's born? I mean, you know, give a few weeks, give a month or two. It's, oh, honey, you know, you see a baby go by, honey, maybe another one. What had happened? The trials and the struggles and all of that is lost in memory because of the joy that was on the other side. Well, it's that way in spades when it comes to what we have in Christ, isn't it? I mean, Paul writes to the Romans and talks about, I consider the present suffering as insignificant in comparison to the joy that's set before us, the glory that's set before us. And that isn't just for Paul, that's for us to understand the depth of the hope that God has provided us and what it is like to be with God in all of eternity. And so, here we are. We've received this word of hope. We've entered into this. We've been baptized into Christ. Our sins have been washed away. And we start this walk in Christ. And we come to know what He wants. And we start to try to practice it. And as we practice it, we grow in this wisdom and understanding. And we get to know God Himself better. And it's a cyclical thing. And it grows. And when times get tough, we remember what God is like, but we also remember what God has promised. And we hold on to what God has promised. And we get a firmer and firmer grip on what God has promised because we trust Him more, because we've seen His Word work. Because we know what He's saying is true and we recognize it and we've been doing it. And so, because of all of that, when we face trials, yes, we're battered down, and yes, we'll get discouraged, but we have a hope that can pick us up. And we have a reason to hope that will pick us up and enable us to keep going. And how does God strengthen us? With His power and might. And He does it through the gospel, doesn't He? And He does it other ways I can't even describe through His Spirit. Okay? He works. But we're told that He gives us power to get through to the end. And this is my word of encouragement for us this morning. Don't just let God's Word be an intellectual exercise. I've got all of the rules that God wants, and I know it all, and I'm cool. And I just, you know, I've been baptized, I'm good, and we put our Christianity up on a shelf. No, let's get on with the process of growth. Let's get on with learning how to practice it all and put it into work. Make it work for God. Submit to His will, get to know Him more, and then be strengthened by the certainty of the hope that He's given us. If you have any requests, if you want to put the Lord on in baptism this morning or have any other prayer requests, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.